Welcome to the London Property Podcast, your go-to source for navigating the complex and ever-changing London real estate market. Our digital marketplace provides informative and educational content from industry leaders through podcasts and videos. We cover various aspects of the real estate experience, including buying and selling, finance, law, tax, construction, design, and more. Join us as we delve into the latest trends and developments in the market and gain valuable insights from our panel of experts.
Hello and welcome to London Property, the home of Superprime. I'm your host, Farnaz Fazlipour, and today we're delighted to invite Alan Kennedy back to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you, Farnaz.
So, Alan, just for our listeners who may not have listened to some of your previous interviews with us, can you just give us a quick brief history of your area of expertise and how we got to be here today?
Yep, I run a business called Trident Tax, which is based in Bedford Square in central London and also in Manchester and Birmingham. We specialise in high net worth investors and individuals who typically have interests in the UK, but also may have some interests on a worldwide basis as well. Most of my team is drawn from KPMG and PricewaterhouseCoopers, so we're all very experienced tax advisors.
Fantastic. And you specialize in tax. And I always say, if you've got a tax problem, go to a tax accountant, not a tax lawyer. They do words. Tax accountants do numbers. But I guess a combination of the two is needed.
We do like to try and combine the two.
So just a topic that we're discussing today is about the non-dom status being cancelled, as it were. Can you just tell us a little bit of the history of the non-dom and how it all came to be so that, you know, we've got an understanding of its origins?
Yeah, well, domicile is a concept that was, you know, predates our current tax system by hundreds of years. So it's a common law concept, but it has been adopted into our tax legislation so that we have, you know, two different bases for taxation in the UK. We have residence and then we have domicile. So you can be resident in the UK and be taxed on your income and gains that arise within the UK, but you can also be non-UK domiciled and generally not pay tax on the overseas income and gains that you have.
Okay. And The next question I have is currently, what would you say are the numbers of the non-dom? So what is the size and the impact of this change?
Yeah, it's quite significant. So I actually gave a talk on this very recently and did a little bit of research. And the latest numbers from 2 or 3 years ago are that there were just under 70,000 non-doms in the UK. Most of those had been in the UK a fairly short period of time, I think, and only just over 2,000 of them were paying a fee to be a non-dom, which means that they've been in the UK for more than 7 years.
Right. So you have to be, after 7 years, you start, what was it, 35,000 a year or something that you pay?
You start at 30,000 a year. You can decide every year whether it's cost effective to pay, not to be taxed on your money outside the UK. And after 12 years, it goes up to £60,000.
Okay. And are there any specific countries or regions that people are coming from and using up this non-dom status up till now?
I think traditionally we've had lots of people from all over Europe. We've also had lots of people from the Middle East and maybe a few from the US, but for the US people, they're taxed on a worldwide basis already by the US, so it was never a particularly tax-efficient thing for them to do.
Okay. And so now to the point at hand here, the Chancellor is proposing on phasing it out. So what do we know so far?
Well, we know a little, but we do have the main headlines. So I guess the first thing to say is that for a long time, people have been worrying what the Labour Party were going to do about non-dom status, because they have talked for a long time about abolishing this. And back in January, they were floating the idea of a short period for being a non-dom, maybe 4 or 5 years. And then what Jeremy Hunt has done is he's tried to steal their thunder, and he appears to have jumped on the same bandwagon and pretty much taken the ideas that the Labour Party were talking about and used those perhaps in an effort to try and help him win the next election.
And the phasing out is what? Is it over the coming 2 years?
There is a little bit, yeah, there's a little bit of phasing out, but the concept of non-dom will actually end in just over a year, on the 6th of April 25. So we won't really have anyone coming to the UK as a non-dom after that date. What we will have is a new regime. And I don't think they have a name for it, but they call it a residency-based regime. So it's like several other European jurisdictions. They allow people who've not either not lived in the country before or have not lived in the country for 10 years to come to the UK, and for 4 years, they will not be taxed on their overseas income and gains. But there are two big differences with this new system. Number one, you don't have to pay a fee. And number two, you don't have to be non-UK domiciled. It would appear that anyone who was born in the UK but has left for 10 years or more could come back and do this. Also, the money that you're not taxed on outside the UK in the first 4 years, you can actually bring all of that money to the UK. Whereas previously, you would be taxed when you brought the income or the gains to the UK. Under the new system, you will not in the first 4 years. So it's a very, very different system that we're going to have.
So not taxed at all, or there was a number of 12% being banded around?
No, the 12% is called the temporary repatriation facility. So the 12% tax rate is a bit of an amnesty to encourage people who are already non-DOMs and using what we call the remittance basis of taxation. So previously or currently, if they bring those income or gains to the UK, they would pay the full rate of tax. But they've got a 2 year period from 6th April 25 when you'll no longer be able to use the remittance basis. So for that period until the 5th of April 27, as a non-DOM, you can bring your pre-April 25 income and gains to the UK. And instead of paying up to 45% on income and maybe 20% on gains, you will only pay a flat rate of 12%.
So does that mean that from next April, you won't have any new non-DOMs, but are the existing non-DOMs going to be able to live out the remainder of the 15 years that they entered into?
No, I'm afraid they're not. So the only concession to the existing non-DOMs who will have been here for 4 years or more at that point is this ability to bring money in for 2 years at 12%. But then also in the first year, we have a reduced rate. So the income that they have outside the UK, if they're still in the UK, of course, at this point, they will only be taxed on half of their income in year one of the new regime. But after that, it will be the full amount of income that will be taxed. And also from the first year, the full amount of capital gains will be taxed. So there's no concession on capital gains.
So I'm sure you're going to be extremely busy in the coming months, but have you seen any light at the end of the tunnel about what things the non-DOMs are or should be considering now?
Yes. I mean, there are certain types of insurance wrappers which can hold investment portfolios. They have a very good tax treatment, and that tax treatment does not depend on domicile status at all. So that's something that's been around for decades. It's available to, you know, UK domiciled people and always has been. And there's no sense that that's going to change in the legislation. So there are restrictions on the type of investments that can be made, how they can be managed, and the amount of money you can take back at any one time. But that is a solution that a lot of people, I think, will adopt. That we might see. You know, the other solution, if you can call it a solution, is to leave the country. So I think realistically, we will see people who want to spend less time in the UK and remain non-UK residents, so they will just not be affected by these rules.
Obviously, the rest of Europe has been making changes to attract some of the super wealthy global residence, as it were. And I know that I noticed personally that, you know, some of the wealthiest people going back a few years were starting to move to Italy, for example, where they just pay the £100,000, but they have to commit for 15 years to that. Is that right?
I don't think they have to commit for that long. The Italian regime is €100,000, and I think it's €25,000 for your partner, if you have a partner. From memory, I think it's 8 or 10 years you can do this for in Italy. So there is a fee, but you can also bring the overseas money to the UK, sorry, to Italy without being taxed on it. But there is one important exception for capital gains. So if you have a private company, and I think it's if you own 20% or more of that, the Italian regime may not allow you to have the capital gain free of Italian tax. So that's a very important one to be careful of. And obviously, for property, there are some significant changes that could affect the inheritance tax position as well. So we've known since 2017 that UK residential property cannot really be protected from inheritance tax by using a non-UK company, for example. Now, it's still the case that non-residential property, so commercial property or land in the UK, can be insulated by a non-dom from UK inheritance tax. But the proposals on inheritance tax are that when a person who is non-dom has been UK resident for 10 years, they'll be taxable on their worldwide assets. So holding UK commercial property through a non-UK company will not be effective, it would seem, after that person's been in the UK for 10 years. And then they've also announced that these changes on inheritance tax may also be applied to non-UK trusts. So we may have the same problem where the settlor, the person who basically put the assets into a trust, has been in the UK for 10 years. The trust might have some UK commercial property through an overseas company, but that property after 10 years might become exposed to UK inheritance tax. So all these things are subject to consultation, and we'll know more in the next few months about those.
So if people really fight to stay, then we know that we've really, you know, getting people to pay for the benefits of being in the UK when you're introducing all these things. Well, how are the tax experts actually reacting to this news, your colleagues?
I think no one was surprised about the fact that the non-dom period was severely reduced. Maybe on the plus side, I didn't expect this mini amnesty on bringing money in at 12%. So that's, you know, an encouragement for people to try and invest into the UK. And, you know, it may create a mini property boom. Who knows? For that 2-year period, it will encourage investment. So that's a good thing. It was also a surprise that people who are from the UK originally can, if they've been away for 10 years, take advantage of this new system for 4 years. So that may encourage some people to come back to the UK. So that's a good thing. What is obviously less good are the surprising changes on inheritance tax that are being talked about. So you could come to the UK, be liable to UK inheritance tax after you've been here for 10 years on a worldwide basis. And then the proposal is that after you've left, you continue to be exposed to UK inheritance tax for another 10 years. That seems to make things incredibly unattractive to me.
Oh, wow. That's not a good one. So we touched on Italy a little bit, but are there any other European countries that you think are going to win some of our non-doms over?
Well, it'll be interesting to see now if other countries move to new regimes in direct response to the UK. But certainly places like Malta have, you know, have had golden visa, golden passport schemes for a while. Portugal had its non-habitual resident regime, which it just got rid of recently. But I'm sure we will see some reaction across Europe to try and attract these wealthy people in. lots of countries do seem to think it's a good idea to have these wealthy individuals. Politically at the moment, I think the UK's decided it's not the right look for the UK, but inevitably, I think we're going to lose some business because of it.
I mean, I may be wrong, I may be right, but one thing that I did notice, I think that there was the result of the non-dom status that we had here, is that our property prices over the past 10, 15 years were inflated really unnaturally. And it was more reliant on, you know, well, if I'm not paying any tax on my income that I'm making all over the world, I'm not that bothered if I pay £5,000-£7,000 a square foot for something in the UK. So I think the effect of that for the locals has been negative because it makes it harder for the locals to get on the property ladder. So it will cause a correction, I think, when it comes to property. But I think it would be nice to have some way of encouraging people to come to the UK to invest in business, to invest in employment, and hopefully, you know, this will be the stick, and maybe there'll be a carrot on its way that'll encourage people to come and set up companies here.
Yeah, possibly so. We don't have an investor visa any longer. We do have an innovator visa. So really, if you're moving to the UK, you don't have a prior connection, a prior right to be here. You really do need to be starting a business. That is the requirement. I think the other thing that maybe didn't get so much attention in the budget is that they've decided to abolish multiple dwellings relief for stamp duty land tax. So that is also a blow if you're an overseas investor, you're buying multiple residential units. You could get them at the non-residential rate and pay a maximum of 5%. And that will go, I think it's 1st of June that's going. So that is probably not what the property market needed to hear.
Yes, but then again, with my good hat on, we could think that, you know, if you get rid of all the rental investors, which is what seems to be happening, it's like nobody wants to stay in the rental market, then maybe, you know, people will start getting on the property ladder, much like when we were in our 20s and it was so much easier to get on the property ladder.
Well, hopefully that and the combination of maybe some mortgage rate reductions to come later this year should help the domestic market. Yeah, I agree. It might become a bit sticky at the very high end because they might struggle to find buyers if the overseas buyers are not here. But maybe it takes the property market in a new direction and maybe it's more vibrant from a local perspective, as you say.
Yeah, no, markets always find a way. Well, it's really good to have you on the show. And just before we say goodbye, for the listeners that are interested in getting some assistance, so what I'm reading into our conversation is that you will be able to help people with their non-dom status, but you could also guide them about other options and things to do in other jurisdictions to a degree.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, certainly, you said earlier, there is going to be lots of restructuring, lots of movement. There are already a few things that people can do to soften the blow as a non-dom. I mentioned the insurance wrapper. There's also the use of companies that can be done. People may want to take advantage of their non-dom status before these new rules hit and take any money that they need to take out at that point. And then have a very low tax rate when they bring it into the UK in the first 2 years. So there are still lots of opportunities. And we do have almost a year, well, just over a year, in fact, to plan for this. But the legislation will be passed in the next few months. So probably June, July, we will know exactly what all of this will look like.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time. And at such short notice, hot off the press. I've already got people who want me to send them a copy of this interview, so I will do that and we'll be in touch, and hopefully you'll be able to help some of our listeners restructure and stay ahead.
Let's hope so.
If you have any questions about non-dom status and you'd like to take some more advice, please do get in touch. You can email us at ask@londonproperty.co.uk.
Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of the London Property Podcast. Head over to our website where you can browse our exclusive network of top experts driving the market. As a member, you'll have direct access to our experts and their networks. Our award-winning content will help you choose the right professionals for your needs and make informed decisions about your investments. Personal recommendations are a powerful tool in connecting with trusted professionals. Let us introduce you to the right people to help you achieve your real estate goals. Contact us now to learn more about becoming a member and gaining access to these valuable resources, or joining our directory of experts.